recorded,
and I would ask everyone to use respectful language. Acknowledgement of country. Council would like to respectfully acknowledge the local Aboriginal people who are the traditional custodians and owners of the land on which this meeting takes place. Councillor Eads will now read the civic prayer.
Almighty God, from whom comes every good and perfect gift, we give you thanks for the blessings you bestow upon us in this shire. Grant to those who hold office in this council the spirit of justice and truth, of wisdom and charity, that mindful of our responsibility and of the needs of those we serve, we may promote the true welfare of your people, exercise wisely and faithfully the authority committed to us, and advance the common good through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
Right. Do you want to actually talk about the protocols, Fiona? Could we possibly ask all guests or non-councillors to turn off their video and also to mute at this stage, please? The reason why we're asking you to turn off your video is that when we get to the voting stage, the councillors will actually be putting up their hands to actually indicate their vote, and we need to be able to see all councillors on the screen. And as you're aware, the way the system works, it cuts down those other people off. So we actually need to make sure that we've got councillors appearing on the screen.
Okay, so I'd just like to note the meeting protocols for a fully electronic and online ordinary council meeting. When voting on an item, all councillors need to raise their electronic hand, not their physical hand. Votes then will be counted by our governance officer, who is also online. And these notes will be counted. The vote will either be unanimous or X amount for and X against. All that will be written down. The mayor will call for hands to show where there are a vote against. Conflicted councillors who need to leave the room will need to completely leave the electronic meeting. When that matter in which they're conflicted has been completed, the councillors will be rung on their mobile phone by the governance officer, who will notify them that they can come back into the meeting. This, of course, will pause some of our council interaction. Thank you.
All right. Any apologies or leaves of absence?
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor. Councillor Ward is having technical troubles. He can't get into the meeting.
Thank you for that, the governance manager. We will notify that Councillor Ward and Councillor Woodruff. Councillor Woodruff is an apology and Councillor Ward is a temporary apology until he comes into the meeting.
All right, confirmation of minutes of previous meeting. Do I have someone for the motion?
We need to commit the apologies.
We did. They're recorded. And I mentioned it to Michelle.
Could we have a show of electronic hand for those who...
Previous minutes. Johnny Marco, can you turn the video off, please, mate? No one. So Jason Foy and Councillor Reynolds. So we have a nominator and seconder. Do we have anyone against?
I think it's actually me, Jacinta, Jay.
Oh, he's on the side.
All right. We had four hands up, Jacinta, sorry. So Councillor Reynolds, you're voting not accepting the minutes. So you're withdrawn, Gus, you're not accepting the minutes.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, I had a gust of new moment.
Okay, all right, so we have...
I resemble that comment.
But we have no one... We knew this was... So we had no one against it, so we'll have nominated and proposed and seconded. We'll have confirmation of the previous minutes. Do we have a disclosure of any pecuniary or non-pecuniary Beatrice. Councillor Reynolds.
Yeah, just a an insignificant told not to do it, but I'm doing it. It's I volunteer and promote sport and commentate it could be used at the Olympic Park if it happens.
Okay, that's fairly insignificant.
Which report?
Sorry?
Which report is he noting?
That'll be the Olympic Park. Yeah. Gus McNeil.
Yes, Mr. McNeil. I declare an insignificant pecuniary interest in the state significant minutes, attachment B, relating to Liddell Power Station.
Noted. Can you both now please turn off your hands? Thank you. All right. Public participation. Item six.
Excuse me. There's people that are trying. Hello. Hello.
Identify yourself.
Excuse me. There's people that are trying to dial into this meeting using their phones. There are people trying to join this meeting using the phone link that was sent.
It's not a telephone link.
Join.
It's not a telephone link. It's a link to a video conference. We don't have a telephone connection. Yeah. They need to use a computer or to join with somebody who has a computer and use the link that was provided.
Okay.
And follow through to, it's called Teams, Outlook Teams meeting.
All right, public participation. First person on item 10.1 is Mr. Nigel Wood.
Excuse me, Mr. Mayor.
Can Mr. Wood?
The amount of time there.
Yeah, no, I was just going to stop. Each public speaker can have a 3-minute and 3-minute speaking term. And if you'd like to hang around after you've finished speaking so that any councillors have a question to ask, they can ask it. Mr. Wood, are you there? All right, we'll go on to the second speaker. And if Mr. Wood comes online, we'll let him come in later. Mr. Peter York.
Yep, online.
All right, Mr. York, you have 3 minutes. And if you'd like to hang around after you're finished, and if any councillors have any questions, please start.
Perfect, thanks for that. Basically in brief, my concern about the monitoring tower from day one that it was built as an exempt development. So in August 2018, Epiron constructed the tower to a height of 120 metres. It was later found out through community complaints that Epiron then reduced the height of the tower back to 110 metres. So therefore, they basically said it was a complying development. The only reason that occurred was through council, through community complaints. And what happened from that was that they then lodged a DA with council, which was then retracted at a later date. So they've had since August 2018 to get approved for the tower, which is currently in place, and that 30-month time period is now expired. They've basically, I guess, breached the infrastructure SEP twice since that tower's been up by building it at 120 metres to start with and then exceeding the 30-month period. So I guess my concern is that council's got a reputation of having a very strong regulatory focus with other developments in the Muswellbrook Shire Council. So I guess my concern is that by allowing a retrospective DA beyond the 30-month period, that it's tarnishing council's reputation on their high regulatory processes that they currently have in place. And the Epiron's got a history of non-compliance as they exceeded the 30-month period. So I guess my concern is that how can council have confidence that culture or process or lack of process around legal compliance will be maintained in the future, particularly when council's gone to a lot of effort with the way that they've managed a lot of large developments within the district for a number of years on their requirements to be legal requirements. So that's basically the crux of my objection to it. The DA should be refused and the tower should be decommissioned.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. York. Any councillors wish to ask Mr. York a question? No? Mr. Wood, I see you're now online.
Yep, yeah, I've managed to get in now.
Okay, we'd like to hear from you, thank you. You have 3 minutes, and yeah, if you'd like to wait at the end of that so that any councillors can ask you if they wish to ask any questions.
Rightio, no worries. Yeah, I'd like to be as well, so Epiron did put a DA in for the illegal structure, so they erected it in 2018 at 120 metres tall. And then they actually put a DA in to council DA number 36-2019, which is April 2019, for approval for 120 metre tall wind mounting tower because it wasn't exempt development. They then withdrew that in January 2020. So that wind mounting mast was up for at 120 metres tall for 17 months, and then at the end of January 2020, they reduced the height of it from 120 metres to 108 metres to make it compliant legislation. Some of the other stuff in your attachments as well, it talks about an environmental facility and examples of environmental facilities, meaning boardwalks, observation decks, birds, and they said, all right, we can do it under an environmental facility. And then it talks about the rural landscape and how it will impact on the rural landscape. So RU1 primary production land zone use objectives are as follows, and it includes visual intruding into the surroundings except by way of suitable screening. From our house, that wind monitoring tower sticks out like a sore thumb on the skyline. You just walk out of our house and go to our, not front gate, but one of our garden gates, and it just sticks there. It hasn't been screened or anything. It isn't maintaining the characteristics. And the council recommending to approve it for 3 years, except there's a get out of jail clause on the recommendations. The recommendation is actually approval for 3 years if it's not required to support an approved wind farm with data. So they're trying to have the cake and eat it too. Epiron are trying to have the cake and eat it too. They built an illegal structure, had it for 17 months before they reduced the height of it to collect extra data. They put a DA in that hasn't mentioned in the notes at the moment, the council attachments, in withdrew that DA 17 months after the infrastructure was built. It's also been mentioned as part of the EIS for the state significant project for the Bowmers Creek Wind Farm. And it talks about only accessing the project by certain roads, which precludes Sandy Creek Road.
Yeah. You've got 20 seconds, Mr. Wood.
Okay, right, yeah. All right. Well, just with earthworks, the earthworks actually imposed on my property when they put them in, putting rocks under my fence and everything. And I've got photographs before and after the earthworks were put in on my boundary fence. So it isn't complying with even the earthworks.
All right,
so that's all. Any councillors have 3 minutes?
Sorry, Mr. Wood.
Yes.
Okay. Do any councillors have any questions of Mr. Wood? No. All right.
Councillor Reynolds.
Councillor Reynolds, do you have a question?
Yeah, Mr. Wood, thanks for your participation. Just in relation to, have you had any contact directly with Epiron yourself in relation to your impacts and dealings?
Very minor. Epiron came and saw us before they put the wind mounting tower up and told us in our kitchen, my wife and myself, we would not see any infrastructure at all from our house a couple of months after the wind mounting tower was built. and we start asking questions then. And I asked how it was built without a DA, and they admitted to me, and I've got an email trails that indicate it wasn't built as an exempt development. It was built 120 metres tall, which is not exempt development, and they didn't have a DA. And they were in consultation with council at the time. It still took them months to get the DA in. And as I said, it was 17 months after they withdrew the DA and lowered the height down.
Thanks for that. Sorry, Mr. Mayor, was it cutting in and out for you then as well? Anyone else? I just...
Councillor Reynolds, but not to any great degree. We can't do anything about it, though.
It's similar to you, Steve. Excellent.
Okay, I'll bring my microphone closer. Sorry.
Now I can hear you, Steve.
Yeah. Now you're Steve's been a bit in and out as well. All right, Steve, you want to put your hand down now, please? All right. Ms. Bridget Thomas. No, Nigel, can I ask you just to turn off your video, please, mate?
Yeah, no.
And your audio.
And your audio, yeah. Bridget Thomas.
Hi, this is Bridget.
That's over. Same as everyone else, the 3 minutes and available.
Yes, I just have I have the same concerns as Peter and Nigel. I'm a resident of Muscle Creek. That wind monitoring tower was not an exempt development. You're allowing Epuron to get away with things that they shouldn't, whereas in other areas you don't allow that. I'm just a bit disappointed about the whole process, and this is just icing on the cake and the start of it all.
Okay, do any councillors like to ask Ms. Thomas a question? No. Mr. Andrew Wilson, still on 10.1. Mr. Wilson?
Hello?
That you, Mr. Wilson?
Yes, it is.
All right, mate. Again, 3 minutes and available for questions at the end of that 3 minutes, if that's all right with you, please.
I don't have any questions or anything to add. I think we've put the details in the application, and that speaks for itself.
All right, then. Thank you very much. So we'll move on to subject 10.2, which is the McDonald's application. Oh, hang on. We have a... Do you want Sharon to talk? Sharon's got a finger.
Sharon... do you wish to say something?
Okay, this is Councillor Sharon Poe.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor and councillors. Mr. Wilson is representing the proponent, so if you have any questions to him about the wind monitoring tower, he's here to answer those questions. I don't know if it was that clear to people.
No, thanks for that, Sharon.
Yeah, it wasn't, so please... Councillor McNeill.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Mayor. Mr. Wilson, my question is, how long will you need the tower to gather the data that you need?
It's a difficult question to answer precisely. It's pretty much served its purpose. As we've done our development, but any extra data we collect over the coming months is still useful to us.
I've got a question to Mr. Wilson. Sorry, Gus, I'll let you go first, mate. Councillor McNeill?
Yeah, no, that satisfies my question, thank you.
My question was, you mentioned additional material for a couple of months, so how long do you envisage this extension to last?
we're expecting development approval for the project as a state significant development sometime in the next 6 to 9 months, I suppose. And I expect at the end of that approvals process, we will remove the temporary masts.
All right. Ms. Thomas, we can't let you actually speak again. Ms. Thomas?
Fine then. Yes, got that.
Okay, all right. Any other questions for Mr. Wilson? All right, we'll move on to 10.2, which is the McDonald's application, DA. We have Ms. Amy Jones.
Hi. Hello.
Mr. Mayor, your microphone's muted on that end.
I'm sorry about that. Ms. Jones, do you want to speak?
Ms. Jones, we can see you but can't hear. Would you like to have another go?
Hi, can you hear me now?
Okay.
So I've just basically written a letter to all you guys on behalf, so it just... this meeting, every other meeting, and written submissions to council from myself, people of the neighbourhood. We're all saying no to the application McDonald's continually put in for trading 24/7. For all the reasons we list constantly, nothing's changed. McDonald's, after all this time, have still not and will not address any points we all raise or say. They can change companies to manage their applications all they like. However, it still doesn't change the facts. It doesn't change that no one wants 24/7 trading at McDonald's around the area. So they keep saying that they're all about consultation in the neighbourhood when we still haven't received a letter or anything, and there's been no consultation or change in anything we raise in any letter. At the last council meeting, which I attended to, Phil stated that the revenue was only 4% to trade overnight. And in this over, and they use this time to clean. I'm sorry, but to me, that's not a major trade or warrant for profit or anything like that in what disturbs the neighbourhood. He also stated to councillors that when he was asked what would he do if the application was not approved, he responded that they would go back to doing what they have been doing ever since they opened the doors. Clean after trading has ceased each day. Well, on my behalf, my family's behalf, my kids' behalf, the neighbourhood's behalf, I say go back to doing that. If you've been doing that since you opened, then keep doing that, especially if your neighbourhood keeps saying that we don't want you to do that. The applications is just crazy. Nothing's, as I said, nothing's changing, nothing's being done, nothing's being addressed. The day after the last council meeting, they did one clean thing across in front of McDonald's and that was it. Haven't seen them since. The neighbourhood's tired of these games. We're tired of not being consulted when you claim that you do. We're tired of the street racing that comes out of the car park. Mind you, when we're not in lockdown, this is probably the quietest it has been because we are in lockdown. We're tired of the litter blowing the streets and around our houses and yards. My kids get off the school bus and they pick it up and bring it home and put it in the bin. They don't have to do that. We're tired of the false claims, the reports of the alleged, you know, there's no... no impact on sound or anything like that. I've said it time and time again. I'll invite anyone can come for a sleepover. They can see what it's like in my front bedroom with the lights from the drive-through, lights from the car park and the noise, the fights. So the more the merrier for the sleepover to prove that the claims and their reports that they say are just ludicrous and false. And that's basically it. We don't want it. Go away. Stop trying to ask for it when it's just disturbing the pub and our house, our kids, the area.
Okay, thank you, Ms. Jones. Any councillors like to ask Ms. Jones a question or any clarification? Councillor McNeill.
Yes, Ms. Jones, if it was restricted to drive-through only, would that change your opinion?
No. They took down the gardens, which did help block some of the drive-through headlights, which they seem to deny, but they shine right into to the front yards of the neighbours and my house where I'm situated. So no, it's just really, it's really just bringing in trouble if they wanted to. And we found that when they were doing, when they first started, it just advised people to still sit in the car park because it's open, have a party, you know, go through the drive-through, get the food. So it, no, sorry, it makes no difference.
Oh. Okay, any other questions? Councillor McNeill, can you put your hand down, please? No, okay. We actually have Mr. Philip Wilson, who's actually for 10-2 again. He wishes to talk in support. Amy, can I ask you to turn your video on, please?
Sorry.
Mr. Wilson, same rule apply, please, mate. 3 minutes to talk and then be available for some questions if you could, please.
Certainly. Again, thank you very much for the opportunity to do this. Firstly, I just want to reiterate that this DA is for additional trading hours only, obviously extending between 11 p.m. and 5 a.m. Obviously, we keep referring to 24 hours, but it is only between those hours. Council's planning team have assessed this DA, as we know, along with the supporting information and referrals, and recommended an approval for this to go through as a trial. This is a recommendation we strongly endorse and hope that the council will as well. In light of recent feedback, I'd like to request the council approve the application subject to the imposition of condition of consent, outlining that we trade the restaurant as a drive-through only operation between the hours of 11 p.m. and 5 a.m. just to avoid the confusion of anybody thinking that we were actually seeking to have inside the restaurant. It's drive-through only. And we've actually been trading as drive-through only for 10 months and believe we have done so responsibly and without incident. As you're aware, since the last meeting, we have provided council additional information, which included tonight's business paper. This information provided further context and clarification in regards to the interactions between myself, my team, the community, and the formal channels afforded to the business of the larger McDonald's corporation. And to date, I have not seen that letter of the community not supporting this. So I'm not aware of what is actually being said. I believe that in the past we have listened to the community and we have mitigated concerns where required. We have every intention also to continue this and to make sure that we are good community ambassadors. I'd also like to again highlight to the council that the police are in support of this DA for additional trading hours, noting that they have said there is less loitering in the site due to the increase in the perceived passive surveillance from the store opening 24/7. Also been able to address concerns of the noise, including adjusting the noise of the output and the drive-through. And this has been certified, as you know, as compliant based on real-life data while we have been trading. Regarding the gardens, we have not touched the gardens, so I'm not exactly sure what the previous person was talking about. During this time, we've been able to successfully run our business and grow the number of locals that we employ to cover these additional hours. So again, I'd just like to say thank you and open it to any questions.
Any councillors asked to ask questions? Councillor Reynolds.
Thanks, Mr. Wilson. Just in relation to the compliance side of things and the stated that there's been a number of items that haven't been addressed, what is the current structure for the litter patrol in the business at the moment?
Okay, so what we do with the litter patrol, we do that 4 times a day.
Yep.
We send our maintenance guy out with a big bin and he goes around and he collects the rubbish. We do that on the patrolling areas on the streets around the site. But then during the day, we also go out and empty all the bins as they get full. So we have a 4 times a day, we go out and clear that. The guy who does that for us actually goes up the street quite some way along the New England Highway and up around the streets. You know, we believe that we are doing a very good job in the litter patrol.
That is part of the compliance that you have. Sorry, I just take my hand down. There is a position that someone does that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Yep.
I've seen it in the report. The other question, I've had my concerns last meeting and requested you have a meeting in relation to the neighbours. The neighbour across the road, her in relation to any mitigating.
Oh, sorry, I'm only getting half the question.
So in relation to the neighbour that's directly impacted, Mrs. Morton?
Yeah, how she's directly impacted from the lights coming from the car.
Yes.
Yeah, so we have approached her and certainly offered some services of tinting the windows and also using some thicker curtains if that's going to mitigate the noise. So we have actually approached her in regards to doing that, and we're in the process of getting some quotes for that as we speak.
The address, the issue with regards to the signage for the residential area as well, the signs, actually frequent McDonald's, but the signs there on both sides, they seem to be a minimum standard. Is that something that we can look to address in our, to be happy with? In our compliance is that we've increased those signs for a residential to identify that it is a residential area.
Yeah, definitely. From memory, the signs were put up in accordance to the size that we were actually asked to do. And I do admit as well, they are small. They're not the larger signs. So if it's as simple as putting up a larger sign, we can definitely do that. That's not a problem at all. Also, just going back to that other question regarding the rubbish, we do it four times a day, as I mentioned, but if people still perceive that that's a problem, we can increase that litter patrol. There's no problems with that. It's easy to do.
Thank you. Thanks, Mr. Mayor.
Councillor McNeill.
Yeah, just Mr. Wilson is quoted by Ms. Jones that the night trade represents 4% of your turnover. Do you concur with that?
It's probably a better way of calculating it is that in our busy times through the drive-through, we get in excess of 100 cars an hour. During those smaller hours of the evening, we drop down to as low as 7 cars an hour. That's how we're sort of recording it at the moment. So if you think of 7 cars, 7 orders over an average of an hour, probably quieter between Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and obviously Thursday, Friday, it gets a little bit busier. But it really is not that busy during those hours. But there is, I suppose I just want to emphasise, like I did last time, we perceive that still as a demand from the community that they require these services and would like these services. And as I mentioned last time, particularly the mining industry, people who are doing shift work, this is a perfect scenario for them to allow to get either food or coffee before or after their shift to make sure that we're open for that. So I can assure you, being a businessman, if I didn't perceive this as worthwhile, we wouldn't be pursuing it.
Councillor McNeill, you have your hand up. No, you don't.
Sorry.
Okay. All right. Any other questions? No. Okay. Now we go to item 12.9, which is the Olympic Park. And the first speaker is Mr. John Marco. Mr. Marco?
Yeah, hello, Mr. Mayor. How are you? Righto, so we'll just move on straight away. So it's the Muswell Junior Rugby League's view is that option 3 of the Olympic Park master plan, the grandstand amenities designs that have been tabled before the council and councillors, is that option 3 is the preferred option as it achieves maximum flexibility, family friendly, meets regional standards, meets today and the future's inclusive needs, promotes and accommodates for male and female participation, meets and exceeds the current facility layout. So in a nutshell, I'm just going to compare option 3 versus option 2, which is council's staff's recommendation. Option 3 promotes a superior functional and true family-friendly zoning of the complex through complete segregation of food, serving and alcohol areas. 2 serving areas achieved plus wet bar while still maintaining regional standards. Not having young children or families go to the wet areas to access food and beverages. Negates congestion around the canteen as people throughout the entire complex have 2 options available for food and beverages. Better uses of available square metres of the area while still maintaining regional standards. And in all cases, exceeding the current facility options. Moving on to like the option 2 cons. One canteen and bar, which is a reduction of 15% of the current facility and 33% of option three. Limited room in front of the canteen for lining up and will cause congestion as main entrance and exit is located adjacent to the canteen. Entire occupants of the venue will have to travel to the wet area part of the venue to purchase food and beverages. Inferior functionality at hosting large local and regional events when compared to the current facility and when compared to option three. User groups will have to require additional food and beverage vendors, even on local days, which will be roughly 75% of the time of current usage. Queues lining up at the canteen at wet areas of the crowd, which will severely impact on teams entering and exiting the fields from the change rooms and increase interaction amongst spectators. Stage two, the change rooms are simply just too big at 122 square metres when regional minimum standard is only 70 metres squared. So current venue has 2 by 41 metres squared. So just put it in perspective, they were going to triple the size of the current grandstand change rooms. So option three, the pros, two canteens allowing for the week-to-week running that the existing facility provides and the current user groups require on 75% of the time. Grandstand internal circulation is improved and toilets in the middle of the field. Increased flexibility and options in managing large local week-to-week events without the requirement of hiring, organising additional vendors as required in optional two. No congestion issues and complete segregation achieved for the families and kids from the wet area. Exceeds NRL's regional guidelines while still maintaining two serving areas as current facility provides. A total of 92 metres squared serving area, which is an increase of 33% on option two. Change rooms reduced only by 10 metres squared to 112 metres squared while still exceeding regional minimum. So in a nutshell, in closing, the regional class facility that all the user groups have pursued for over 4 years and unanimously are in agreement as it truly meets a family-friendly, inclusive and safe environment for the entire community now and, more importantly, into the future and beyond.
Thank you, John. Would any councillors like to ask John a question? Councillor McNeill, you were there and then you went again.
Rightio, thank you. Yeah, John, I'll just give you some feedback from the briefing sessions and some of the concerns that were raised with option three, so you may have the opportunity to respond. The security issues are seen to be associated with the canteen at the northern end of the ground, given that the lines will go back to the dugout. That's one, so I'll just do them one at a time. Do you understand the question? Well, the issue?
Security issues, as in like crowds lining up going.
Security issues of the crowds being too close to the players in the dugout.
Okay, well, how do we negate that? If you only have one serving area, which will be on option two, the lineups will be greater going further out into the field or and congested even more areas where our change rooms are. So the you talk about interaction security issues. It's more of a safer option for the teams to get in and out of the change rooms and onto the field. So that would actually, option two increases the security issue, if that's what the nature of the question was.
Yeah, okay, thank you. And the next concern, counter for the second canteen was the availability of the upstairs canteen on large events. Would that meet the needs, in your opinion?
pardon me, the upstairs canteen is more of a kitchen. We never have viewed it as a canteen per se. It's more far as like a social room, function room, and of course it would be open on large regional events. Of course it would be open. And again, it will be another sort of place for hospitality.
And finally, there was concerns raised about the possibility of the northern canteen being used to serve alcohol.
I can tell you this will not happen at all. I can just talk on behalf of the Junior Rugby League, where we're not allowed to serve alcohol. it will not be in the intention of serving an alcohol. There's already a sufficient area there on the southern end of the grandstand for the bar, which is called bar. The reason why it is called a dry servery is for a second option to serve food and beverages.
Thank you very much.
No worries, Gus.
Anyone else? Any other councillors? Councillor Reynolds.
Thanks, Johnny. Thanks, Mr. Mayor. Just in relation, Johnny, the priorities of the Junior Rugby League, what is the biggest priority out of this?
Councillor Reynolds, probably the major priority is a fit-for-purpose functional venue that meets and exceeds the current venue layout that we actually have, whilst meeting all relevant regional standards and still has the flexibility that can accommodate from day-to-day running, week-to-week running, all the way up to a medium to large local event, right through to a regional standard event, which for all user groups now, gentlemen, Muswell Touch, we're talking Muswell Senior League, we're talking Muswell Junior League, from now and into the future and beyond, Stu. So that's what we're really wanting, is a priority that, a flexible venue that can meet all of those needs now and into the future.
All right.
And I'd just say then during your speech that you, during your time, you don't, the canteen is option two won't meet a week to week, 75% of the time.
Sorry, you cut out halfway.
You said that even on a week-to-week basis, you don't feel that the current canteen that's proposed in stage two will meet the requirements.
Yes, we've done some data on how often we have to have the current facility, on how big the current facility is as far as serving area. 75% of the time, we require both catering rooms to be open. That's the canteen and also the steak tent serving area of the second bar canteen area. So 75% of the time is required to have those both venues open. And even if you call it a commercial sized kitchen, we still only have a limited area to serve the food. So it is my opinion, we will have to hire at the user group's expense and time to organise additional food vendors or Apex clubs to cook barbecues, etc., just to cater for week to week running of the venue.
Steve, do you want to...
You think a commercial kitchen would be a benefit, though?
Two of them would be great.
All right. No other questions? All right. We have one more speaker on 4.9. It's Mr. Gus Mather. Mr. Mather, are you there?
Yeah, hi. Can everyone hear me?
Okay, mate. Yeah, 3 minutes to talk, if you could, and then be available for some questions.
Hi everyone, thank you for your time tonight. So I'm representing Muswellbrook Senior Rugby League and we totally agree with what John's put across tonight on behalf of Junior Rugby League. I would like to talk about option three, which is our preferred option against option two. Currently the ground, we have two serving areas, the same as option three, and this is used 100% of the time by Senior Rugby League and 75% of the time by Junior Rugby League, which John's already been through. Option three serving area is currently 6.3 metres. That's currently what we have at the ground and allows for 9 spectators to be served at once. Option two is 2.7 metres and allows for 4 spectators to be served at once. Allowing for a 2 metre walkway between the canteen line and the fence of the ground, option three will allow for 36 spectators to line up at the canteen with 1 metre spacing. Option two will allow for 16 spectators to line up. And if there is 24 spectators, the walkway will be blocked. With the dry serving area, this will allow us to promote the family to the ground using the railway end. Option three will have a walking distance from the family end of the ground to the dry survey area of 20 metres. Option two is a 50-metre walk to the canteen. If we want to encourage the family to the ground, including grandparents, if using option two, we're expecting them to do a 100-metre walk for a cup of coffee. If using option three, spectators will use the stairway on the railway end to access the dry serving area. If using option two, the spectators will walk along the front of the grandstand to the entrance stairs and blocking the view of the spectators in row one and row two. This will also make more congestion to the entrance of the ground by using those stairways. In summing up, we are moving to a facility with 80% more capacity, but we are reducing our serving area by 50%. Option two may meet regional standards, but spectators come to the ground to watch the game, not line up at the canteen. Thank you.
Thanks. Thank you, Mr. Martha. Any councillors have any questions? Councillor Reynolds.
Sorry, thanks, Gus, for your speech there and your input for throughout this process. Just can you go back to that, you read something about the lines being from 2 metres line from the fencing. What was that statistic? I didn't completely get it all down.
So allowing for a 2 metre walkway behind the people lining up at the canteen. That's between the end of the line of the people lining up and the spectator and the fence of the ground. That would allow for a 2 metre walkway. We would have 36 spectators able to line up and be served under option three, but under option two, you would only be allowed 16 spectators. And if 24 spectators lined up, you would block that walkway.
Okay, Councillor McNeill.
Yeah, thanks, Rod. Gus, just did you hear the questions that I asked of John?
Yes, I did. And when they talk about security going on to the back of the dugouts, I don't really see that a problem at all. I don't think your lines, having the current situation we have now, we've never had a problem with security. And for many years we had a roped off area for the teams to put their bags in, which worked well. But what I do see is an issue if you talk about security is when you have spectators lined up at the canteen and blocking the walkway, which is what is going to happen in option two, I believe that would be more a security risk than what option three would be. And as for using upstairs, I don't see that as an option in a day-to-day canteen situation. And I think even that may then even cause a security risk by having the general public upstairs in an area that we would deem to be for a function style area to have the sponsors and guests to be to use that facility.
Councillor McNeill.
And finally, Gus, the concerns of the serving of alcohol at the northern end.
Yeah, well, that's what we're heading towards. We don't want to be serving alcohol. Senior Rugby League have been able to manage many years now in one serving area, and the facilities that have been provided in the new facilities is more than what we need, and the area of moving the wet area to one end of the ground has been exactly what's happened over the years. They get a drink at the bar and they all head to that end of the ground, and they respect the crowd at the other end being the family area. So Musselbrook Senior Rugby League will not be running the dry serving area as a wet area.
Okay.
Thank you, Gus.
Take your hand down, please, Councillor McNeill. All right, that's the end of the public participation. So we're now going formally into the council part of the meeting. So item 10.1 is the first item. It is DA 2021-33, continuing operation of the wind monitoring mast, lot 197 and 199, DP 75244, Sandy Creek Road, McCulley's Creek Road, McCulley's Creek Gap. The recommendation is development application for the continued operation of the wind monitoring mast on lot 197, Sandy Creek Road, McCulley's Gap, be approved subject to the conditions in the attachment B to the report. Do I have a proposer and a seconder?
In relation to this item, Mr. Mayor, I'd like to move an amendment.
Can we have, first of all, we have a recommendation first. Do I have a proposer and a seconder? Doesn't appear I have. Councillor McNeill.
Yes, so if we look at the recommendation, I'd like to move the amendment that following be approved, we add the additional words of for a further 6 months from the date of this determination.
Right, is that it?
That's it.
Do we have, so that's the motion you're proposing. Do we have a seconder? Okay, Councillor Sward, seconding. All right, do we want to have any further discussion?
Yeah, I'd like to speak to the recommendation or okay, to the amendment. Okay. Just note in Council's development assessment report, they recommend that the application should be for a restricted period. And from Mr. Wilson's reply to my question regarding how long do they need the tower erected to gather the required data, he answered that they basically have the data they need.
All right. So do we have a second for Councillor McNeill's motion? Councillor Reynolds. Councillor Ward, sorry.
Sorry, Mr. Mayor, just to clarify with the general manager's outlines, do you want us to put our hand up or put the hand up?
We haven't got it up yet. When I need the mover and the seconder, yes, you put your hand up.
Okay, thank you. Now
we'll put the motion forward. If you're in favour of the motion, do nothing. If you're against the motion, put your hand up. Is everyone clear on that? Councillor Ward, I'm not quite understanding what you're trying to say.
Good. Voting.
Councillor Ward, are you for the motion or against the motion?
Yes.
For. Okay. Could you take your hand down, please?
No.
Hence my confusion. still there, Stephen?
Oh, good.
All right. So we have a motion on the thing. If all those councillors for, those against. Councillor Four, you're against. Councillor Eade, you're against. I can't hear you, Councillor Eade.
I raised my hand for four.
No, if you're for the motion, do not put your hand up. If you're against the motion, put your hand up.
That's a little contrary.
Generally found with motions, the against are the exception, and it's easier to see on what we're trying to see. You're looking at, we're trying to count,
understand that
things, count things here.
What we're told at the beginning.
Yeah.
It's contrary to what I said.
No, I'm
correct.
It's contrary. I'm sorry about that, councillors.
All right. Okay, so those in favour? Those against? Declare it unanimous. Item 10.2, which is DA 2021-30, change of operational hours, McDonald's, 8389 Maitland Street, Musserook. The recommendation is the development proposed for 24 hours per day, 7 days a week, trade at McDonald's at lot 101, 8389 Maitland Street, Musserook, be approved for a trial period of 12 months, subject to conditions of Appendix C of the report. Do I have a proposed mover for that motion? No.
Can I make an amendment, please, Mr. Mayor, if I put forward...
Sorry, Councillor Ellis.
May I put forward an amendment, please?
Yes, if no one else will propose to go then, yes, Councillor Reynolds, go.
I'd like to make an amendment to the wording, if you can hear me. In relation to the 24 hours per day, 7 days per week drive-through, and also a sub-point B, that new signage in negotiation with the general manager and, sorry, Sharon, and Ms. Pope.
Excuse me,
Councillor. Yeah, no, you can't nominate the council officers.
The general manager.
Yes. All right, so we have Councillor Reynolds has put up an amendment. Do we have a seconder?
I couldn't actually quite catch the full amendment there.
What he's basically saying is it's going with the motion as is, except to identify that it is only drive-through, it is not in-house service, and also that the general manager liaise with the proponent with regards to increasing the litter clean-up signage, the size at about...
No, what? Residential signage.
Just signage.
Residential signage? Residential.
It became residential area. Sorry, my fault. The residential area signage. So you've got that one, Councillor Foy? All right, who's your seconder? Have a seconder, please. Wave at me and I'll say your name. Councillor Reeds. Councillor Reeds, a second.
Can I speak on this now, please, Mr. Scales? Mr. Mayor?
Pardon? You wish to talk to your motion?
Yes, thank you. Just in relation to this night that we've been now since October with the COVID, they've been able to operate under COVID. We don't know how long this is going to proceed further in the future with COVID. So far, the lockdown has allowed us. It could be 6 months, it could be 12 months that they're still able to operate. I think it gives us a reason to give it the 12 months trial because under the current conditions, at least this way we'll have a say with the residential signage at the moment we don't, and see how things transfer. There also has been impacted that has indicated that should it be drive-through rather than the internal, that they would be happy with that.
So I'll put the motion. Remember, if you're for it, don't put your hand up. If you're against it, put your hand up. Those in favour? Those against?
No. No.
So we've got...
Three against.
Four.
Four against.
Four against the motion.
The motion's failed.
So the motion's failed. That's three against, actually. Sorry, three against. Councillors Ward, Councillor McNeill and Councillor Foy were against.
What about Councillor Ledland?
I can't see Councillor Ledland there right now.
Councillor Leavitt,
are you right there?
Yes, I'm here right now. No, I didn't raise my hand.
That's right, I didn't think you did.
Yeah.
So we've got Councillor Ward, Councillor McNeill and Councillor Foy voting against the motion. We have Councillor Eads, Councillor Reynolds, Councillor Ledlin and myself voting for the motion. So that's 4-3.
Is Councillor Bowditch on?
No, Councillor Bowditch is not there.
Mr. Mayor?
Yes, Councillor Foy.
If I may suggest, if you pull up the participants list on the side, it brings all the raised hands to the top of the list.
It does.
Count them very easily.
Yeah, that's Councillor Ward, Councillor Foy, and Councillor Dock. May have disappeared.
It's not working properly.
It's not working properly, yes. Jason?
Okay.
But yeah, it's the motion is passed 3-4. The amended motion is passed 3-4. 4-3. Okay.
Just
how are you, Gus?
Just saying, a point of order. You didn't call for dissent or speakers against the motion.
But that's true. So we can go back. We can backtrack to that. Do we got those who wish to speak against?
Yeah, I'd like to speak against the motion.
And normally, Councillor McNeill, the moment Councillor Reynolds had finished speaking was your opportunity to put your hand up to speak against, not to after the vote.
I'm very polite. I was waiting for you to make the call.
Yeah, Councillor McNeill.
Well, I think my position is it's a diminished amenity for the people living or residing next to McDonald's, and I put that against the balance of the gain for McDonald's. I believe it's an unfair impost on the residents.
Someone, one of those voted for, wish to speak. Before Councillor Leeds, you were the seconder. Councillor
Reeves. Yes, I actually voted for the motion because I live in that general area and not all traffic that's travelling through that area is actually related to McDonald's, and I have seen those people cleaning up all those areas around, doing the things along the streets as I'm driving through. So not all of the things that the residents are saying, it's not all related to McDonald's.
All right. Do we have another speaker in favour of the motion to talk? I'll get to you, Steve. Don't worry. You've got last reply anyway, mate. Do we have a Councillor Ward or Councillor Foy? Councillor Ward?
Mute. You're on mute.
You're on mute, Steve.
Donald? Driving? No. Yeah.
So driving, no.
Yeah.
Okay. You know what? You're not in favour of driving for being 24 hour.
Yeah.
Councillor Reynolds.
Yeah, it's my belief, Mr. Mayor, that as I've stated in relation to the COVID situation, that it could be ongoing for some time, and it's how long's a piece of string, but we're seeing what's happening relatively now. This is us as a consent and applying that, have some complaints over the situation, whereas it's currently a set, it's a state identified situation. So is that correct? I'll go ask you, Mrs. Through the yourself to the
chairman. Yeah, through the general manager is what you're asking.
Yes.
Sharon, are you able to provide an answer for Councillor Reynolds?
Councillors, Mr. Mayor, I don't know that I heard all of the question. The premises is allowed to operate 24/7 at the moment because of a public health order or a COVID health order, it may be called, where any food and drink premise across New South Wales is allowed to operate 24/7 during this period of COVID. At the moment, it's meant to end March next year, but as we know from this year, it got extended 12 months.
All right, so everyone that's got your hands up, you had your opportunity, mate. All right, so to make it so that we do this properly, I'll put the vote up again. Those in favour of the amendment as put forward by Councillor Reynolds and seconded by Councillor Beebe. Those against. Councillor Foy. Councillor McDeal, Councillor Ward. So the vote is the same as the last time, Councillor Paul, Eads, Reynolds, Ledland and Skulls for, and Councillors Ward, McDeal and Foy against. Thank you. 10.3. Amendment to Musselbrook DCP 2009, Section 13, flooding in Section 16, car park and access, wave your hand if you want to put your move it. Councillor Reynolds. Seconder. I'll second Councillor McNeill. Any discussion? All right, I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Stephen Ward, you're against it, are you, Stephen?
Yes.
No, okay, declare it unanimous. Planning proposed additional clauses for rural housing and boundary adjustments. Do I have?
Yeah, move the motion. I'll move the motion.
Seconder? Councillor Ward?
I had my hand raised.
You're kind of quietly in the background there, Jacinta. We can hardly see you.
Can you put your camera on so we can actually see you more easily?
Look, I could, but I've had to move to my bedroom and I'm sitting on the floor while I'm charging the computer.
Okay.
Too much information. All right. So, all those in favour? Those against? Declare it unanimous. 10.5, the major Landcare project budget capital for 2021, with the officer's recommendation to endorse it. I have a nominee, Councillor Foy, Councillor Eads. Do you have any discussion? All those in favour? Those against? Declare it unanimous. 11.1, which is a community service plan for water supply and sewage services, the officer's recommendation. So approve the draft of replacing the draft plan. And the further report be submitted to Council following a period of public exhibition. Councillor Reynolds, Councillor Foy. Any discussion? All those in favour? Those against? Declare it unanimous. Corporate and Community Services 12.1. The 2021 Community Satisfaction Survey. I'd like to move an amendment that the councillors noted as per the officer's recommendation and have a workshop to discuss actions to rectify identified issues in the report.
Councillor Reynolds,
so it's me, Edmund Reynolds.
Just like to speak to it too, Mr. Mayor, if I may.
Yeah.
Just in relation to it, I think the survey sort of it does reflect our need to communicate and be more transparent with the community, and I think that we need to, in our next budget, allocate some funds for that purpose to increase our transparency, the website, the app, everything that we've been speaking about for years.
No disagreement with it. All those in favour? Those against? Declare it unanimous. The 2021 operational plan for the June quarter review, the officer's recommendation.
Jacinta.
Seconder, Councillor Reeves. Any discussion? All those in favour? Those against? Declare it unanimous. 4.3, the Australia Day 2022 Awards and Citizen Ceremony. We have a councillor's recommendation there. Section 1, which is endorses the plan for the Australia Day 2022 Awards nomination process, Australia Day Award and Citizen Ceremony and Family Fund Day. And approves establishment of an internal Australia Day working party. We have Jacinta with a hand up. And Councillor Reynolds.
Yes.
Do we have any discussion?
I'd like to move an amendment.
Yep.
That amendment would simply be the removal of point one, and the recommendation simply state approves the establishment of an internal Australia Day 2022 working party. So in not tying our hands to any particular process at this stage.
I don't think actually one does, Councillor McNeil. It says we've always had, even over the last 5 or 6 years, we've had an Australia Day ceremony and a fun day. They have not been in the same place.
Well, that's looking, if I read the recommendation along with the background, I'm concerned that we are committing to the same arrangements that we've had over the last 3 years. And I think the benefits or the merits of that against the previous arrangement should be discussed and debated.
Okay. Can I ask Councillor Ledland and Councillor Reynolds, are you happy with that amendment?
Yeah, I'm happy for us to discuss that in a workshop.
Yep.
Yes, I'm happy for that as well. Mr. Mayor, I thought that was going to be part of it. I do see Councillor McNeil's concerns. But...
Yep, I can understand this issue as well. So any further discussion? I put the motion. For those against? Declare it unanimous. The Musselbrook 12.4, which is the Musselbrook Aquatic Pool Outdoor Pool Pump and Filtration System. The recommendation is we allocate monies to do to allocate the budget, identify the process and detailed design for the new plant. This is basically to stop the problems we had when we opened up the big pool at the start of this year. So I'd like to support that motion.
Yes, me.
I have a seconder, Councillor Ward. Do we have any discussion? Those against, declare it unanimous.
Yep.
Half-day public holiday 2022, officer's recommendation that make an application to Minister of Public Service and Employee Relations for the declaration of half-day public holiday for Musselbrook Cup from noon on Friday, the 1st of April 2022.
Mr. Foyer.
Councillor Reeves. Good. Second, Councillor Ward. Sorry. Okay. Yeah,
good.
Any discussion?
Running.
Put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? Declare it unanimous.
Count.
Section 3.
That's 4.6. I've got the point on one page and the recommendation on the other. 12.6, which is the 355 committees, endorses section 355 committee guidelines for public exhibition for a period of not less than 28 days, and then adopts the section 355 committee guidelines at the conclusion of public exhibition period if no substantive changes are recommended in any submissions received.
I'd like to foreshadow a motion, if I may.
Sorry, sir, I didn't pick you up.
I'd like to foreshadow a motion if the, this one...
Okay. Councillor Reeves has moved it. Could we have a seconder? Councillor Foy. Discussion? I'll let you go, Sue, straight away.
Okay, I just want to request an amendment. Take on board what the council staff have said. Just in relation to if no substantive changes are recommended in any submissions received, I'd just like if any submissions are received in relation to it for it to come back to council so as we can determine it.
Councillor Reid to Councillor Poy, will you support that amendment?
I think there might just be some discussion around the word substantive as different to substantial, as mentioned by Councillor Reynolds.
Substantive charges, yeah.
So the no two different words charges. With different meaning.
Sorry.
And most times it all comes back to council before we adopt it anyway.
Well, most times, yeah, but I want to be sure that...
Yeah, it will.
No, she's actually up.
Jason, I've just asked that. I withdraw that. I noticed that when I read back over, I've got two screens.
So, well, she goes back to council and needs to council for whether you accept the amendment.
No, I withdraw it.
He's withdrawn his amendment.
He's withdrawn it. Okay. All right. Any other discussion? I'll put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Declare unanimous. Mount Pleasant Optimisation Project proposed planning agreement. Officer's recommendation. The only notice would suggest one amendment to the thing that the where it says the agreement to reflect as a minimum, I would say based upon. Because reflect says, I'd say it's just a bit stronger, I think, but it's based upon it. That's the only option I would say, and I'll move that. Don't have a second.
So, Mr. Mayor, right. Which line was that in, sorry?
It's in, okay, Section 2 says the general manager begins negotiations with MAC Energy to finalise the planning agreement to reflect as a minimum. I'm saying remove, reflect and replace based as a minimum.
Just sure, I'm happy to second word. That.
Sorry?
Yeah, I'm happy.
Sure. Yeah. Foy, Councillor Foy. All right, any other discussion? All right, I put the motion. Those in favour? Those against? Declare it unanimous. Sponsorship for the Hunterwise Outreach Program for 2022. Officer's recommendation that the council approve the $20,000 option one school sponsorship for the Hunterwise Outreach Program for 2022. Do I have a mover? Jacinta?
Yep.
Do I have a seconder? Councillor Foyd? Any discussion? I put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? So unanimous. Olympic Park Mask 10.12.9.
I'll read it out.
Olympic Park Master Plan Grandstand amended design, updated. Officer's recommendation. The council endorsed the grandstand amended design option 2 to be placed on public exhibition for a period of not less than 28 days. And 2, council proceed to prepare a development application for the grandstand and amenities design. Option 2, at the conclusion of the public exhibition period, if no substantive changes are recommended in any submissions received. Do I have a mover?
Can I suggest an amendment? We're supposed to do that before.
We haven't got anyone move it yet, Councillor Foy.
Sorry, can I propose
my amendment? Yeah, you can discuss it,
that we replace everything in that with option 3.
I'll say.
Hang on. So that's you moving that, Councillor Foy?
Replace
everything with option 3?
Yes.
So that's your motion, Councillor. Have a seconder? I think you're saying yes, Councillor McNeill. Councillor McNeill, are you saying yes?
Yes. Yeah, just put my hand up.
I can now see it was moving, but I couldn't hear anything. So, have any discussion?
Yes, I think we should have some discussion. Look, I was going to pose a question, but maybe I had the mic on silent. I'd like to ask the general manager what the implications would be if the matter was deferred. And the reason for that was because option three only came to I guess, the representatives, Steve and myself, midweek, and yourself, of course, Rod. So the councillors have only seen it as of yesterday, and it's probably not an ideal situation to only have that period of time to assess the different options. And Councillor Reynolds made a great suggestion of having the two options assessed by Country Rugby League, but I do realise that has implications. So I'd just like to understand what those implications are before I foreshadow that motion, if the motion moved by Councillor Foy fires.
Can I make an observation, Councillor McNeill? Part one of the motion is 28 days of exhibition. Could part of that process be the stuff that you're talking about?
I guess it naturally would be, yes.
So I might suggest that this has been hanging around for a long time. Let's get it out there. Let's move forward. We can. Everyone has still got an opportunity to comment.
Yeah, if all the other councillors, I put that out there more for the other councillors than myself, because I have had that opportunity, and I'm happy to speak for the motion on the basis of the.
Can I follow up on Councillor McNeill's question?
Yes, General Manager.
I would just remind everyone that this is a concept design. It is well beyond time to move the concept to detailed design. Detailed design gives plenty of opportunity for some amendments and changes to the overall concept. It provides a whole new window of opportunity for negotiation between councillors and stakeholders. I think that we need to remember that we have only, after this meeting, two meetings of council, and effectively there's only one in September where you can go to public exhibition and then come back and adopt in October before you go into caretaker mode. This project has been a goal of this council for 5 years, and I think we do need to move it to detailed design, and it will. And that's after we go to public exhibition, which provides an opportunity to consider a number of amendments in that period.
I fully endorse General Manager's comments. Councillor McReynolds.
Just to speak to it, having been a part of it for the past 5 years and chairing some of these meetings, the balance of transparency, I believe that there's no problem with stage one of the facility, and we've all agreed upon that. There's no problem with the motion. It does give us that, Gus, just for clarification, that period of 28 days to get it out there, get things happening, and go to major stakeholders like the ones that will use it for regional events, not so much Country Rugby League, but the NRL, and get some input from those key stakeholders as to the functionality and the flexibility and what they see. I think we move ahead with it. Get on with it.
Okay.
Yeah, if I could reply to that, I agree with all those comments, but I thought it was worth putting it out there, given that there was
that's fair enough.
Diametrically opposed views from staff and the user groups, and the councillors have not had a lot of time to, digest that. But I 100% support that, and would like to congratulate all the people involved, the user groups, Councillor Reynolds, and the General Manager for the actual consultation process, which I think has been excellent.
I was 35 when this process started. All right. I'll put the motion, Councillor Lees.
I'm just thinking that if we're going to put a motion, it's not just option two or three. We should put all options on the table for public submission.
And then
they bring back and work with the one that's chosen.
I would speak against that very strongly. We put three options out in the public forum.
We're never going to get there.
Right. Okay.
We'll get back 20 or 30 potentially concrete things, and we'll be negotiating about where doors go and where things go again, and we'll never get there. I don't think anyone is that opposed to any of the particular options out of two and three, but we should actually go to war over it. Councillor Foy.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. I think we just need to lean a bit more heavily on the advice from the user groups, the senior and the junior rugby league. They're the ones that know how the place works. I feel if we put out more than one option for consultation, I think it's just total overkill, and putting out number three as the only option on the exhibition is the way to go.
Okay. All right, I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? I declare it unanimous. So that's option three. All right, 12.10, the monthly finance report, officer's recommendation. Councillor Ledland, Councillor Foy. I'll put any discussion, put the motion. All in favour? Those against? Declare it unanimous. Report on investments held at 31st of July 2021, officer's recommendation. Jacinta and Councillor Reeds. Any discussion? I'll put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? They're unanimous. Report on Council grant funding for August 2021, officer's recommendation. Councillor Reeds, Councillor Ledland. Any discussion? Put the motion. All in favour? Those against? No one. Declared unanimous. Community services. Officer's recommendation. Mover, Councillor Reeds. Seconder, Councillor Foy. I'll put the motion.
Good.
All in favour? Those against? Declared unanimous. Reports from committee. 13.1, the Finance Committee. Councillor Ledland. Councillor Scholes. Then discussion. Put all those in favour. Those against. They're unanimous. State Significant Development Committee meeting on the 26th of the 7th. The officer's recommendation be noted.
Question.
Oh, okay. No discussion. All those in favour.
What's discussion?
Oh, Councillor Reynolds.
Sorry, I'm just getting to there at the moment. In relation to the state significant, sorry, one screen's small, one screen's big at the moment. I've got to scroll down. Apologies. In relation to the, so I don't know why this is, I haven't got a Zoom on this to zoom out. It's in relation to the council's response to the resources strategies for Mount Pleasant operations in relation to Mount Pleasant optimisation project. It's been endorsed by the committee. I couldn't find a record where we've been supplied that.
Are you talking about the submission?
Yeah, the response.
Our response, council's response to
it was. Definitely went out, Steve.
It went out very quickly. I think we had a very short time frame, and it came out from the executive manager, environment and planning. I can send it back to you again if you wish.
Yeah, that look. Yeah,
with the date, no. It is hard to keep up with them. We do get a lot of them, and sometimes the time frame is extremely tight.
Just that position that we have been previously.
Yeah, I understand.
All right. Okay, I'll move the motion. May I have a seconder? Councillor, may I have a seconder? Councillor Foy, any further discussion? Does anyone else want a copy of that, by the way, just if they haven't, can't remember getting it? I can remember coming out.
I can't.
All right, I put the motion. All those in favour? Those against? Derek, unanimous. 14, which is, where are we? We're missing parts here.
Notice of motion?
No, notices of motion? Any notices of motion? No. Questions with notice. So there's the 15.1, which is the university awarded 2 million industry funded. That's the information to be noted. I'll move, sir. Have a seconder. Councillor Foy. You want to talk to him or what? So, okay, I'll put the motion. That's for favour. Those against? We're unanimous. 15.2, question of notice of Angula continued operation objection action. The information be noted. I'll put it again. Have a seconder. Have a seconder. Councillor Ledlam. Discussion?
I think McNeil.
McNeil.
No, I was actually putting my hand up to second. I was my computer's a bit slower than everybody else's.
All right, any discussion? All right. Close the favour. Those against? Declare it passed. 15.3, questions with notice of the Big Park breakdown of funding. Action recommended. Moved, I'll move it.
I'll second it. Yeah, I'll second it.
Councillor McNeil.
And I'd like to thank Council for their answers. Thank you.
No worries. We are an open Council. No discussion. All those in favour? Those against? Declare unanimous. Do you have any Council's reports? You should. If you have, I'll have to charge you with some COVID breach. Questions for next meeting? Councillor Reynolds, or did you just bump your mouth?
I'm trying to, sorry, at the moment, I'm trying to deal with it. But yes, I do have a question for the next week, but they'll be in writing again. I've already given some to the team manager.
All right, so can we have adjournment to go into closed meeting? Can I have a mover? Councillor Foy, Councillor McNeil. All those in favour? Those against? Clear it passed. Okay, we have.
Can all those that are public participation